Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview?
Hey everybody, welcome to Live with Dr. Andre Jerry, your primetime destination for bold conversations, unfiltered truth, and real-life inspiration. I'm your host, Dr. Andre Jerry, and I'm broadcasting live from my new home studio in beautiful San Juan, Puerto Rico. And I want to thank you for tuning in from wherever you are in the world. Tonight's show is proudly sponsored by Amazon Auto. Yes, you heard that right. Amazon has finally entered the car game. Now you can browse, compare, and buy your next ride online from trusted dealers right from the comfort of your own home. Convenience just got a major upgrade courtesy of Amazon Auto. Now, before we get into tonight's show, let me ask you something. Are you making good money but secretly miserable at work? Do you ever feel like you're just going through the motions? Are you battling imposter syndrome and wondering how you even got here and if you even belong? Have you put your dreams on hold because you think it's too late to start over? And here's the big one. Have you ever asked yourself, is this really it? Like, is this what I was put on earth to do? Is there more? If you answered yes to any of those questions, then trust me, you're in the right place tonight. We've got a powerful, transparent, and possibly life-shifting show lined up for you tonight. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and let's get into it. All right, so tonight's episode is deeply personal. We're going to be talking about the boldest decision I've made to date, and that's walking away from federal civil service after nearly a decade of service, leadership, and dedication, and stepping into a life that I made for myself right here in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So if you've been following me on social media, you already know I recently made a major announcement that I officially retired from federal civil service and relocated to Puerto Rico. Of course, I shared this news with my family and my close friends first, but once I made it public, the response really was overwhelmingly positive. I received a lot of messages of support and congratulations, but the one question that kept coming up over and over was, but why? You know, you kind of had it going on. What happened? Well, listen, there's definitely a backstory to this, and we'll get into all of that. But really the truth, guys, is that I've been planning this for quite some time. Retiring early and moving abroad, it wasn't a spontaneous decision. It was always the goal. It was always the end game for me. So it was never a matter of if. It was just about when and where. But for me, this was the season to finally make a bold change. So let's get into it and talk about why. Okay, so I didn't exactly plan to retire so early at age 45. Obviously, I'm super excited. You know, who wouldn't love to retire at age 45, right? But my original plan was to work until age 50, maybe 53, if I really loved what I was doing. But that's just the thing right there. I didn't. I didn't love what I was doing. And, you know, I'm going to unpack that a bit more in just a moment. But, you know, given the current climate that we're in and everything that's been going on in the public sector with the new administration and DOGE and all of its initiatives targeting federal employees, it just wasn't a safe space anymore. You know, the federal work environment had become unstable. It's really never been unstable. That was one of the great things about being a federal employee, is that you had the job security, but it became unstable and unpredictable. We didn't know what was coming from week to week. And, you know, in my experience, it had become a toxic workspace, a toxic environment. And listen, I can only speak for myself, but I don't do toxic workplaces. I don't do toxic workplaces. I don't do toxic environments. Anybody that knows me knows I really don't deal with that. You know, I put too much time and effort into not just my professional career, but also in my personal growth and development and you know, just to continue to stay in an environment that I feel compromises my mental health and peace of mind, I just wasn't willing to do that. Now, if you tuned into our last episode, it was called The Future of Federal Civil Service, you'll remember how I shared how federal employees were being impacted by, you know, a sudden string of changes resulting from these executive orders that were coming from the new administration. You know, and I talked about where I felt we were heading in terms of our employment. And, you know, this all began with the hiring freeze back in January. There was a hiring freeze on all federal positions. And then the next thing was the return to office mandate. Some of this we saw coming, but, you know, a lot of it we didn't. After that, there was the deferred resignation program. And then the layoffs for the probationary employees started. All of this within a few short weeks now. And, you know, there's no telling what else has happened since I retired in March. So you can sort of imagine the toll that this was all taking on the federal workforce. I can't speak to other agencies, but at least within the Department of Defense, we were already grappling with a reduced workforce, you know, and other challenges before all of this. And the reduced workforce was due in large part to a significant number of our workforce retiring after COVID hit in 2020. So it kind of started there. We had lost a wealth of knowledge and, you know, our continuity of programs, a lot of our programs after some of our more senior workforce personnel retired. And because of attrition, the number, well, a significant number of these base vacancies, they weren't able to be filled. So at least within the DOD, we had our share of challenges to contend with anyway, before the new administration even came on. You know, so when you take into account our existing challenges and you couple it with DOGE coming for everyone's job, you know, you can sort of understand how for some it may have become a toxic workplace. You know, and I mentioned this in the previous show, but in my case, I was in leadership. So that sort of made staying with the federal government even more untenable for me. You know, there were a few things that I was privy to that I couldn't share with the workforce. You know, there were a lot of questions that were coming from the team that I wasn't in a position to answer directly. You know, and, you know, then there was just the regular stress from the job and having to deal with so many different personalities and needs and interpersonal conflicts and, you know, just demands from our customers and our end users. It was a lot. And if you know how I am, I pride myself on being a top performer. So I'm going to bring my A game to any job that I do. You know, I'm going to make sure my team brings their A game. And if anyone on my team isn't bringing it, you know, they have to get up to par or they have to find another team. So, you know, I wasn't going to half-ass anything. But when you keep pushing yourself and your team like that, you risk burning yourself out. And see, listen, I don't mind, you know, working long hours and doing whatever I got to do to get the job done. But when you start to feel like all of your hard work and long hours and dedication and all the time you're sacrificing away from your family and things like that, when you start to feel like that's not appreciated, it's not valued, you start to feel like, look, why am I even here? And like I said in the last episode, the last straw for me really was that email, that what did you do last week email. And it's probably still coming every week. It supposedly came from OPM. You know, it basically obligated us to send 5 bullets outlining our accomplishments for the previous week. And listen, it really wasn't about having to send the bullet. It wasn't that, because most of us were already accustomed to maintaining a monthly activity report or a weekly activity report that outlines our progress and our activity for a certain period. For me, at least, it was the implication that most of us federal employees are non-performers or underperformers. And it was the completely unprofessional way that they went about this entire thing. You know, if their objective truly was to make an honest assessment of the daily activity and contributions of federal workers, then that's fine. But there was a better way to go about it. than sending a random, poorly written email to the entire workforce on the weekend, mind you, just arbitrarily requesting 5 bullets. And then they had this implication that a non-response would be considered a resignation, you know. And to add insult to injury, there really weren't any consideration given to employees who may have been on leave or on TDY, FMLA, you know, all sorts of things. Many people, not every federal employee has ready access to email, you know, so it was just a lot of things that weren't even taken into consideration. There was no signature on the email, no chain of command. The subject line was very just tacky. What did you do last week? That's like a text, you know. It just looks like it was sent from someone's cell phone. I still can't get over that email. It just showed a total lack of respect and a lack of regard for the entire workforce. So, you know, like I said, I can't speak for anyone else, but for me, it was like, you know, what am I doing? Why am I still even here? I've never seen one email wreak so much havoc across the federal workforce. People didn't know whether they should respond. They didn't know how to respond. We didn't know if the email was completely legit or, you know, could it possibly be a cyber attack? And it took a couple of days for, you know, us to get some guidance from the Undersecretary of the Air Force on, you know, how to approach it. It was just a complete debacle, you know. So while all of this is happening, I'm thinking about all the hours that I actually spend at work and away from all the things I enjoy, the people that I love, the things I really love to do. And I had to ask myself, is this really where and how I want to spend the majority of my time? And that's what sort of began the thought process of making the decision to retire early, you know, as opposed to hanging in there another 5 years or so. Another consideration is that I didn't really love my job. You know, don't get me wrong. I had an awesome career path and trajectory. I started out as a logistics intern, and I worked my way up to being the chief of logistics, not once, but twice in my career. I got to travel the world and, you know, represent my country as a U.S. diplomat and help facilitate foreign military sales with our cooperative partners abroad. And, you know, all of that was exciting. It was really exciting. But it never really ignited my passion. And I noticed that very early on in my career. But, you know, I just kind of hung in there. Sometimes you just have to pick something and stick with it. And I noticed that God gave me favor in my logistics career, which I'm super grateful for. But no matter how far I went up, I still always felt like, sort of like an imposter. Like, how did I get here? What am I doing here? You know, this is not really what I want to do. I'm doing it, and, you know, I'm doing it well. This is not what I really do. But when you've invested so much time in something, you sort of feel like it would be somewhat irresponsible to just throw it all away. You know, I tried to pivot a few times and pursue other roles and functions in the defense sector, but it just seemed like all of the best opportunities just so happened to be in the logistics career field. You know, so I just sort of went with it and I embraced it. And for those of you who aren't really clear on what exactly logistics is, in basic terms, logistics, we make sure that the military has everything they need to operate. We're talking about their supplies, their equipment, their training, if any repairs need to be done. You know, we're sort of the behind-the-scenes problem solvers. We put out fires every day. We're not the program managers. They're like the spokesperson for the weapon system or the program. We don't fly the jet, you know, but we make sure that there's fuel, parts, tools, support, and even trained personnel. Everything they need to stay mission ready. And in my case, I worked on programs like F-15 and C-17. I coordinated with contractors, helped to resolve all types of sustainment issues, and just managing everything that was needed to keep those systems running from purchase all the way to the end of its life cycle. So sort of the bottom line is if your logistics is messed up, you're going to risk failing your mission. So my job was to make sure that never happened. And in a lot of ways, it was a thankless position, you know, but if you take pride in your work and you enjoy resolving challenging problems, then, you know, being a logistician, it can be rewarding. And, you know, even though I never really enjoyed my job, I do appreciate that it provided me with a solid career and a great livelihood and, wow, an awesome network of people and a lot of wonderful experiences. But at age 45, I still have a lot of life left in me. And I believe I deserve to finally pursue things that I enjoy and things that make me happy. And speaking of things that make me happy, many of you who follow the show know that, among many other things, I'm a three-time published author. Back in February of this year, I was invited to be the featured guest on the Authors First show, which is another popular radio show on the network here. And we discussed my latest book, Unlocking Your Best Life. Now, the reason I mention this, of course, is the plug to the new book. But I also want to convey here that it was during this interview that it really hit me that this is what I really love doing. I love writing and publishing books. I love being on the radio. I love live radio. It's nerve-wracking, but I love it. You know, I love content creating. I love being a motivational speaker and using my platform to educate folks and inform people and inspire others to unlock their best lives. And nothing that I do or have done in my day job came remotely close to giving me the thrill that I have when I'm operating in this capacity I'm operating in right now. I just love it. Something else small but significant that happened during that radio show, Scott Zelasko, a.k.a. Z-Man, you know, he interviewed me that day. He's also the engineer for this show. He said something that stuck with me. And, you know, when we were coming back from break, I think it was, in his segue to the second segment, he said something to the effect of, you know, welcome back to the show, and your host, Z-Man, and I really love my job. And you know how, like in the movies, when someone says something really poignant or significant, the words they say after that sort of fade out in the background? That's kind of how it was for me when he said that. And I know it may not be a big deal to anyone else, but for me, that was confirmation of what I was feeling in that moment. Because that's something I always wanted to be able to say and feel. And Scott, I told you this, but that small, seemingly insignificant comment that you made, it planted a seed. It planted a seed that inspired me to finally step out on faith and bet on myself and pursue my passion. You know, so that was really sort of the impetus to me making the decision to finally leave federal civil service and pursue what I love. Yes, all the foolishness with DOGE and the new administration, all of that, the stress from work, that was a factor for sure. But after that author's first interview, I really had made up my mind that I was going to pivot. So, you know, after that, a couple of weeks go by, I'm still working on the base. I'm still doing the daily grind. But I got a little bit of extra pep in my step because I know at some point in the near future, I didn't know when, but I knew I was going to walk away from all of this. But, you know, I start to notice that I wasn't feeling my best. I had been having these weird, like, aches and pains in my body, and they were sort of persistent. They weren't really going away. And I'm a pretty healthy guy, so it's like there's anything weird going on with my body, it's going to get my attention. And I've always been somewhat of a hypochondriac anyway. I'll run to the doctor in a minute if I feel like something's off and have them check me out and do blood work and make sure everything's all good. And so that's exactly what I did. I scheduled an appointment with my doctor. I told him, you know, what was going on with me. And right away, he knew that it was stress-related. He knew it. He asked about the type of work I do. I told him I work for the DOD. This is a new doctor when I relocated to Ohio. But he was like, yeah, I can imagine that you guys are under a lot of pressure these days. You know, so long story short, he prescribed me some meds and he gave me a few days off from work. And I used those few days to really do some thinking. I had a lot of time to think. I thought about how I had sacrificed so much of my time and my energy, my talent, all my work ethic. I have an incredible work ethic. I mean, I hate to brag on myself, but I do. But I devoted so much of myself to this career that I didn't even really enjoy. I didn't like it. I thought about all the stress I was under. I thought about how my health was starting to be impacted. You know, usually I go to the gym or go for a walk or ride a bike or do some sort of like physical activity to offset the stress. But I hadn't worked out in over a year. You know, I just started back going to the gym about a week or so ago. But yeah, I had stopped making time for the gym. So by the time I got home, most days I was just so mentally exhausted that all I wanted to do was just eat, relax, watch a movie or something, just something to decompress my mind. And, you know, the little energy that I had left, I had to save it for my creative project. You know, I had to work on my show. I had new book concepts that I was working on or a new music idea. And that's really the sad part. You know, that creative side of me, which is really the authentic me, it was getting the leftovers. And, you know, I was giving the best of myself to something that didn't even belong to me. I had no equity in it. All of this for a government that was now content with harassing its workforce, let's just say it, and terminating people via email, hardworking people who invested years and years with the government and made notable contributions over the years. You know, so with all of this and with my future, you know, at the forefront of my mind, and by the end of that few days of sick leave, I really felt like I was at a crossroads. I mean, I knew I had to return back to work the next day, but I kind of just knew if I did that I would just fall right back into that routine of work, 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 grind, 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 you know, have very little time for myself and the things I really enjoy doing. And I'm a praying man, so I had been in prayer about this, you know, beforehand, but I remember that night before I was due to go back to work, I remember asking God for guidance. Because I really felt in my spirit I wasn't supposed to go back. And it wasn't a feeling of like dread, you know, like that, I really don't want to go back to work tomorrow. It wasn't that. It was different. It was, I don't know, going back to work felt wrong. It felt like a season of change was finally here. You know, and I'm going to tell you something that happened that same night before I was supposed to return back to work. And this is going to sound a little silly to some of y'all, but just hear me out and keep an open mind. Okay, so usually right before bed, I put on some music. And remember, I told you I just prayed and asked God for some guidance. So just imagine I've turned in for the night. I have my pajamas on. I'm nice and cozy. I'm in the bed. I asked Alexa to play some soft R&B that I like to fall asleep to. The first song that came on was Ain't No Way by Aretha. And listen, before you laugh, I've heard this song a million times. But when it played that night, it just hit different for me. For whatever reason, those lyrics, they just kind of jumped out at me. And I felt like, I'm being serious, I felt like my authentic self, my creative self was somehow speaking to me. You know, and think about the lyrics of that song for a moment. Ain't no way for me to love you if you won't let me. Ain't no way for me to give you all you need if you won't let me give all of me. But how can I give you all the things I can if you're tying both of my hands? It ain't no way. And then you know how the lyrics go. It goes on and says, stop trying to be someone you're not. Hard, cold, and cruel is a man who paid too much for what he got. Those lyrics just hit different. They felt personal. You know, it spoke to that part of me that felt suffocated and not being given the nurturing it needed to really blossom. It felt like that part of me was saying, You know, stop holding yourself back. There's a lot more to you than you're allowing people to see. But in that last part, stop trying to be someone you're not, hard, cold, and cruel as a man who paid too much for what he got. That's what really got me. Because I did sort of feel like an imposter all throughout my career. Yeah, I could do the work, but there are so many people who were so much better than in logistics than I was, you know. So I just always kind of felt like, why isn't me getting the promotion, you know? But the job paid well. And, you know, from the outside looking in, it looked like I had it all. And to a certain extent, that was true, but yeah, I wasn't really happy. Not really, because I wasn't doing what I loved. I was just earning a paycheck and climbing the corporate ladder and doing what I thought everyone expected me to do. And the higher I climbed, it seemed like the more unhappy that I got. So I made an executive decision that night, and I drafted my letter of resignation, and I submitted it the next day. And really, I haven't looked back since. Now, I know some of you are wondering, did I give a two-week notice? I'll say this. I gave the government the same courtesy they gave the thousands of people that they laid off without a warrant. That's what I did. So that's what led up to my decision to walk away from federal civil service. It was just sort of the perfect storm of a toxic work culture, career fatigue, and just like a divine push toward change. It just was a season of change. And, you know, I may have been one of the first to kind of step away and walk away from, you know, the federal government like this, but hopefully I won't be the last. I'm sure I won't be the last. But when I left, I made sure I left on my terms and not someone else's. And sometimes you got to bet on yourself and make the best decision for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break and hear from our sponsor for tonight's show. And when we come back, I'm going to share how retirement's been treating me so far, what's next in this second act. And I have a special announcement that you definitely don't want to miss. So stick around. We're just getting started. You're listening to Live with Dr. Andre Gary, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Looking for your next car? Amazon Autos has you covered. With just a few clicks, you can shop a wide selection of new vehicles, compare prices, read reviews, and even arrange pickup or delivery, just like ordering anything else on Amazon. It's the future of car buying, simple, transparent, and all online. Backed by Amazon's trusted network and partnering with local dealerships, Amazon Autos is redefining how we shop for cars. Visit amazon.com/autos and drive into the future today. Are you an unpublished author with a book idea or concept that you'd like to get published? Need help with editing, copywriting, formatting, and other tedious tasks that are required to successfully publish a great book? Fast-track your next book release with Just Be Cars Publishing. Just Be Cars Publishing specializes in helping new and unpublished authors convert their manuscripts into completed published works that are featured on Amazon, Audible, and other major retail platforms. Ready to get started? Email justbecars@gmail.com or visit justbecars.com for more information. Just Be Cars, creating a buzz just because.
Hi, this is Rhea Fry. Check out my new book, Until I Find You, available now wherever books are sold. You can learn more at rheafry.com. That's R-E-A-F-R-E-Y.com. And you are listening to the Artist First Radio Network.
You're back live with Dr. Andre Gary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Live with Dr. Andre Gary. Hey, before we jump back into the conversation we were having, I got a special gift for all of my listeners. So for today only, Wednesday, April 23rd, you can download my latest book, Unlocking Your Best Life, absolutely free on Amazon Kindle. You'll love it. It's filled with tools and truths and a lot of inspiration to help you step into your purpose and unlock the next level of your life. So if you want to grab your copy, visit our show's homepage at artistfirst.com, or you can head over to amazon.com and just search Unlocking Your Best Life by Dr. Andre Gary. And if you'd like a personally signed copy, just send an email to live@drandregary@gmail.com. And I'd love to get one in your hand. Okay, so if you're just tuning in, before the break, I shared the real reason why I left federal civil service. We talked about the stress, the toxic culture, and the soul searching that led me to choose peace, purpose, and chart a new path forward. And listen, my objective for tonight's show is not just to brag or rub my new lifestyle in anyone's face. The reason I've decided to share my journey is to hopefully inspire others who may be in a similar situation as I was and just need a little encouragement from someone who's been there, who's been in their shoes. They understand how they feel and can sort of just give them that extra motivation or push that they need to step out on faith and chart a new course for themselves. It doesn't matter if you're 45, 55, or 65. It's never too late to reinvent yourself or to go after your dream. So let's get back into it. Okay, so it's been a little over a month since I retired. And I'll be honest with you guys, I'm still sort of getting acclimated to my new normal. It took me about 2 weeks alone to transition out of the state back to Puerto Rico. And, you know, I just had a lot of loose ends I had to tie up with my Airbnbs and my other properties. So I've only been back on the island for a little over 2 weeks, and it still just sort of feels like I'm on vacation. So it hasn't really quite sunk in that this is my new normal, this is my home again. And a lot of you who are new to the show may not know this, but this is actually my second time moving to Puerto Rico. The first time was in 2018 when I worked for one of the big four accounting firms. It was only for a couple of years, but it was a great time. I made some lifelong friends and just always felt like home here. So to be able to retire here is definitely beyond exciting, beyond amazing. And for me, moving to Puerto Rico, it's not just about being in a location, a new location, a new environment. This is symbolic of a new life chapter that's more slower paced and more centered and more purpose-driven. Because my life back in the States, and I know a lot of you feel this the same way, it was just hectic. You know, I had a lot going on. I was juggling 100 different things, putting out fire after fire. It seemed like every time I turned around, it was something else I had to fix or address or solve or pay. Not to mention family. Dealing with family can definitely be draining at times, too. So, you know, all of that combined can just get exhausting after a while. And I'll just say it, there's a lot going on right now in the States. You know, I don't even watch the news, and I can just tell there's just a lot happening. This is a really volatile time for the country, and I don't have to get into the details as to why. You know, I think even the most delusional among us can see what's happening. So, yeah, it's nice to be away from all the madness and just enjoy good vibes and good people. And my decision to retire early also was about reclaiming my time and gaining clarity about what's important. Because, you know, I had to sort of check myself because over the years, I noticed I had become sort of caught up in this grind of, you know, work, and, you know, trying to climb the ladder and make it to SES, which is the executive level within federal government. And I was definitely on that trajectory. You know, had I continued, my next job assignment definitely would have been the Pentagon. But you want to talk about toxic. The culture at the Pentagon is cutthroat on a good day. But can you imagine how it is now with this current administration? No, thank you. No, thank you. But yeah, I had to really stop and ask myself, okay, Andre, is this really what you want? Or is this what you think everyone expects you to do? Say you made it to senior executive service, you know, which I was just about one or two promotions away from, you know. But say I made it to that level. Yeah, it would have felt great for a little while. And then, you know, after a while, I would have been right back to feeling empty, and the demands of that position would have taken more and more of my time away from loved ones and, you know, the things I really enjoyed doing. So, yeah, professionally and on paper, I would have had it going on. You know, I would be extremely successful to you know, those looking from the outside. But privately, I know I would be miserable. And there are tons of people who live like this. I know a lot of you listening now, you know it's exactly what I'm talking about. You make a good living, but you hate your job. Or you're not treated very well. Or your efforts and your contributions aren't valued the way that they should be. Or the workload that you're doing should technically be for two people, maybe three. I know. Trust me, I know. And I didn't want to continue living that way. Now, do I miss the paycheck? Yeah, absolutely. That's about the only thing I miss, you know. But a six-figure salary, it's not worth my peace of mind and my time. Because your time is much more valuable than any salary that a job could pay you. Because here's the thing. Yeah, there's going to be a lot more responsibility in terms of managing your activity and, you know, making sure that you generate income for yourself. But if you have the opportunity to work for yourself and redirect your energy and your focus to your gifts and talents, you really can't lose. Yes, it's going to take diligence and determination, just like anything else that you want to be successful in. But you will eventually succeed. And you don't have to take my word for it. Let me remind you of what the Word of God says. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. Now, this is the cornerstone verse in this. There's a couple of other scriptures I want to talk about, too. But this particular verse, it shows how your God-given talent will open doors for you and create opportunities even in high places. The next one is Matthew chapter 25, verse 29. This one says, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And what I get from this verse is that when you use your gift, it multiplies, and it leads to increase. But the opposite can also happen. If you have gifts and talents that you bury and you don't lose, you know, that's not a good thing. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. So for me, this reminds us that our gifts are not just for us. God gave us those gifts and talents so that we can share them and use our gifts and service to others to multiply its impact. So my question to you is, what gifts have you been holding back from the world? What's the thing that you really would love to pursue? And have you given any consideration to what your purpose might be? And if not, that's something that you may want to give some thought to, because that's literally what's going to fuel you and propel you forward in life, is your purpose. And it's okay not to know what your purpose is. You know, I used to stress myself out in my 20s and 30s trying to figure out, you know, who I was, what I was supposed to do, be, have, what was I put here to accomplish. But at some point you realize that it's about the journey and not the destination so much. Your purpose is going to eventually be revealed to you in the right season. For some people, they discover it early on in their lives. You know, but others like myself, we're just discovering our purpose in our 40s, sometimes even later. So it just varies with each individual. But that's what life is really all about. Life is a journey to discover your purpose and then going about the business of living out that purpose using your unique gifts and talent in service to others. And really, we can just end the show right there, because what I just told you, it literally took me 45 years to learn and to put into practice. You know, but it's all good. I'm grateful to Jehovah for revealing my purpose to me when he did. You know, I could have been 55 when I discovered it, so I consider myself blessed. But now that I know what I know, I got a lot of work to do, right? You know, so now that I've officially retired and I own my own time, how do I plan to use all this freedom? Well, I'm definitely not sleeping in. And, you know, I know you think that would be the first thing, you know, is being able to sleep late and sleep in. But actually what I found is that now that I'm living a purpose-driven life and able to devote 100% of my time to me, I'm excited to wake up every morning. I wake up earlier now than I did when I had my job. I'm up most mornings at 5 a.m. I meditate. I read my Bible. I schedule my posts for the day. I plan my work for the day. You know, some days I'm working on my manuscript for my next book. Other days it might be, you know, getting prepared for my radio show. And some days I'm just doing social media marketing all day. You know, but here's the thing. That same energy and that same work ethic that I gave the government, I give it to myself. You know, I give it to myself. And sometimes I go a little harder because it's not like before. Now everything falls on me. And there's no one to blame. There's no team to blame or, you know, poor leadership or anything like that. Everything falls on me, and anything other than success is unacceptable. So, but one thing I do love now that I'm free from that job is that I can personally handle a lot of tasks that I used to have to outsource to freelancers. And not because I didn't have the skill set and couldn't do it myself, it's because I didn't have the time. You know, so now I'm saving money. I can design my own book covers. I can design my own marketing materials, produce my own content. And with AI, there's no excuse anymore. It's easier than it ever was to do graphic design and video editing or whatever other technical expertise you need. So if you just take the time or make the time to learn how to use these AI tools, then really the sky's the limit in terms of what you can do. On the last live episode, I talked about the importance of having multiple streams of income. We all know this. And one of the income streams that I mentioned during the episode was starting a YouTube channel. Well, that's one of the projects that I've been quietly building behind the scenes is this new channel that I launched back in November called Reality of Truth. And some of you may already be familiar with it. By the way, shout out to author Zane Edwards. He coined that phrase, Reality of Truth. And, you know, he was gracious enough to allow me to take it and run with it. He's also my brother-in-law. But yeah, this channel started as a simple space where I share daily scriptures and, you know, spiritual reflections. And, you know, just over the past few months, it's grown into something really impactful. And so Reality of Truth has sort of become like a ministry in motion. You know, it's a channel that's rooted completely in biblical truth, and it encourages people from all walks of life with daily, authentic scripture-based inspirations and messages. And I've been really amazed by the response that I've gotten to this in just a few months. We're quickly approaching 500 subscribers on YouTube. And, you know, I know there are a lot of strategies to buy followers and, you know, run these fake engagements and inflate the numbers. I'm not trying to do all of that. That's not what this channel is about. I've really been focusing on growing organically, you know, through real connections and with real people who are genuinely resonating with our message. And here's what I found. With everything that's happening in the world and in this country, I found that people are really hungry for encouragement. They're hungry for the word of God. And the fact that Reality of Truth continues to grow without all these gimmicks, it's just God and good content. To me, that's confirmation that we're on the right path. I've also expanded the platform to TikTok, where we've had even more reach and more views, and the response has been incredible in just a few weeks. And, you know, that's proof that when you keep God at the center of your plan, he'll take care of the growth. He'll take care of the success. You just have to put in the time, the patience, and be diligent. And most recently, Reality of Truth has branched into a full-blown podcast. So we have the Reality of Truth podcast now that's available across all major streaming platforms. So now we're not just reading scripture, we're discussing it, we're breaking it down, we're bringing it to life in ways that are relatable and relevant. And not too long. People don't want a long sermon. You know, people don't have 20, 30, and 40 minutes. You know, they want to get the word, get inspired, and move on with their day. So I try to condense it as much as possible. So we're just getting started. You know, so if you haven't done so already, go on over to YouTube and just type in hashtag reality of truth, and it'll take you right to the channel. And hit subscribe, join. You know, you can also listen to the Reality of Truth podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And another thing, if you want to support the mission, you can sow into the work. My Cash App hashtag is Reality of Truth. So just wanted to throw that out there. All right. And so listen, before we run out of time tonight, I want to talk about the special announcement that I promised. I want to share with you guys something that I'm excited about. Some of you may not know this, but I have kind of fallen in love with doing live radio. You know, this all started about 4 years ago when I was invited to be a guest on the Relevant with Renata radio show, which is another show on the Artist First Radio Network. It airs every second Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. So be sure to check that out, Relevant with Renata. But that one experience kind of lit a fire in me. I just kind of fell in love with the energy and the connection, the real-time engagement, the stress of being live, and you know, you can't edit anything out. I just kind of walked away from the interview knowing that, wow, this is something I really want to do, you know. So I'm going to continue to work at it and, you know, improve. And, you know, as fate would have it, I end up being blessed with the opportunity to launch my own show shortly after that interview. And over the years, Live with Dr. Andre Jerry has grown and become one of the more popular programs on the network. We've received a lot of incredible feedback from listeners all over the place, Saudi, here in Puerto Rico, and all over the state, Switzerland, everywhere. But there's one comment that I've heard over and over. It was, we want more of your show. You know, people were kind of angry that it was just once a month. And, you know, I get it. I want to do the show more. I want to do it full time. But between the demands of my career and my other responsibilities and all the other stuff I had going on, I just wasn't able to get it done until now. So here's my announcement. Starting Wednesday, May 7th, Live with Dr. Andre Jerry will officially air every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. So we're going from a monthly show to a weekly show. So I'm super excited about that. I remember telling our engineer one day, man, I wish I could do this full time. And now look at, you know, what God has blessed me to be able to do. So I'm super excited. And I hope you guys are excited, too, because this next chapter is going to be bigger, bolder, and more impactful than ever. So I appreciate you for, you know, sharing this journey with me. Definitely let's keep growing together. And I just appreciate you. Okay, so listen, we've come to the end of tonight's episode. It went by pretty quick. We talked about my bold decision, my life pivot, and what it really means to walk away from stability in order to chase alignment with yourself. And I shared my personal journey and why I stepped away from federal civil service, why I chose Puerto Rico, and how I'm finally learning to live, you know, my purpose. And so this new chapter begins. So again, starting Wednesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern, Live with Dr. Andre Jerry is going to be a weekly show. We're going to kick things off with a powerful episode that you won't want to miss. My very first guest in this new era will be my childhood best friend, John Murray. And the name of the episode is going to be What About Your Friends? How to Know When to Let Go. So we're going to talk about our decades-long friendship. We're going to talk about our ups and downs and our fallouts, our reconciliations, and just, you know, have some real talk about when to hold on, when to let go. You know, because some friendships you're not able to carry through certain phases of your life. So we'll talk about all this stuff. We'll also dive into his journey as a podcast host and a real estate investor and talk about his plans to relocate abroad to the Dominican Republic. So you definitely don't want to miss it, but definitely a huge thank you to all of you who tuned in tonight. I hope you're able to take something away that's going to improve your life in some way. Of course, special thanks to our sponsor, Amazon Autos, making it easier than ever to shop for your next vehicle with confidence and convenient. So, hey guys, listen, until next time, stay grounded, stay grateful, stay growing, I'm Dr. Andre Jerry, and this is Live with Dr. Andre Jerry. I'll see you Wednesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Good night, everybody. Take care.
Erotic, and if you like the finer things than money, ain't no object. I'm going back to Saudi, just in the nick of time. I'll party with the Saudis at the end of Ramadan. And when they on that shisha, it's nice to meet ya. So let's go do our thing while we sip Saudi champagne. I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi. Might show my camel toe. I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.
Baby, dumb and naughty.
I'm going back to Saudi, Saudi, Saudi. I'm going back to Saudi.